God, I remember how Star Wars themes go.
Well, I wish I could have Jason do the Marvel theme at the beginning of this, but that doesn't work. So, do we want a little John Williams?
I mean, same parent company.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Well, here we are, everybody. The gang is back together again as we launch into a new season of Snark Monkey as I am revamping this whole thing.
Yeah.
And in 2020, there will be more snark to come. But I figure what a great way to wrap up one era, to begin a new one, and yay.
Your enthusiasm is overwhelming.
I'm telling you, folks, this
we're going to build a better monkey.
You sound more excited than I do on a school day.
Yeah.
Oh.
Thanks. We're going to hear from you in just a minute, young lady. Let's go around the room and tell everybody who's here. My name is Larry Morgan. I am the host of the Snark Monkey Podcast, which will continue to exist well into 2020. With me today is TV writer, producer, Hollywood extraordinaire man person, Trey Calloway is here, everybody.
Hello. Happy to be here.
Actor who you've seen in so many things and just a man about town is Chris McGann.
That's
Chris
me.
The McGann.
Hello.
McGann, everybody.
McGann.
Star of stage and screen, also a writer producer in his own right, J.K. Jason Kelly.
Was cracking.
We have another producer type person who is also involved in the television industry, Mike Ambers. And would you introduce our guest?
Yes, and sitting here or standing here immediately to my left is my daughter, Jessica.
Yeah, Jessica.
Jessica. I'm not getting paid enough for this.
Yeah,
no.
None of us are.
Party.
Welcome to Hollywood, kid.
None of us are. This is one of those lessons you get to learn, Jessica. And speaking of not getting paid for this, musician, actor, roommate for the moment. Yeah. If anybody has a two-bedroom apartment that they would like to rent out for cheap in the Hollywood area, please let us know. It is the great Alexander Morgan.
Yes. Star Wars is great. I'm here for my allowance, and I'm bailing.
Wow. We get an allowance?
All right.
Getting paid for it cheapens the thrill.
Yeah. It really does.
Well, let's see how you perform, kid, and then we'll talk. I have so many thoughts, and we have so many people in the room with so many thoughts. I don't know how we're going to do this. Let's first off start with some parameters, which is we will go for a short time with no spoilers and just give our overall impression. We'll go around the room. We need to do everything we can to not talk over each other in loud voices like this is, the family at Thanksgiving who have... I have a feeling we'll all be in the same boat. I had this big joke planned about how I went into this movie, and I was like, what's the deal with all the Ewoks, and why do they look so weird? Oh, wait, I'm in Cats. So I got that out of the way.
Wait. I'm in the wrong podcast. I got to go.
I will start with...
Oh, actually, wait. Larry, before you start, I want to say something. But,
yes, Chris.
Not now, but like later before the podcast ends. Right. I just want to you know it's just not the
very
right time.
Possible we will allow you to speak.
No. Just you know it's not a big deal. It's just like later.
Right.
Just later.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have some issues? They
have to have a sequel just for that moment.
Oh man.
Look, man. Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker is a it's a big mess. It is a big. A bloated, weird way to wrap up a legendary and beloved saga. I am still processing it, and I saw it on Saturday morning. I don't even remember now. Time is just a blur. I am reaching into other dimensions to try and get my time back. Look, I didn't hate this movie. I found things to love in this movie, but I was so bored / confused / disappointed until I got some feels in the last 20 minutes that was what I was waiting for 2 hours to get a glimmer of. Which,
like a morphine drip.
If you're going to be hilarious, get up on the mic. Like a morphine drip. My son, that he made it funny. So, Trey, initial thoughts, just nutshell, let's hear it.
Nutshell, to me, the movie is a warm, well-worn blanket. It's a little threadbare. and musty in places. I fell asleep curled up in it at times.
Did you literally fall asleep?
At one point, I did. Now, that may have had something to do with the couple of glasses of wine I had at the Arclight Bar, but the truth is, I still curled up in it.
Yeah.
So...
All right. Well, okay. We'll delve in a little further. Chris, do you want to talk now or later?
That part we'll talk about later. But I have kind of a similar feeling, but in the opposite way. For me, this movie committed the biggest sin it could have made by making me walk away and go, meh. Like, there was stuff in Jedi that I hated. There was stuff in Jedi I loved. I walked away from this going, okay, well, that was a movie. The end.
Jason Kelly.
I stopped being a purist after Return of the Jedi. So I didn't expect anything other than what we got coming from this director.
Oh, interesting. All right.
So I enjoyed that part.
Okay.
I said, I'm going to go in and just watch this movie.
Yeah.
I'm not going to expect anything. I'm not going to have any high hopes for anything. I want to see some nice lightsaber battles. Couple chases, some things blowing up, some shit blew up.
Yeah, you got that.
And I got all of it, and I went, okay, good. I'm done with the franchise. Yeah. I can move on with the rest of my life now. I waited 42 years.
Okay,
there was a war. There was a war.
There were backflips.
You might be in a more of a zen place than any of us here.
Yeah,
and
I let go after the what was the last one? Last Jedi. Yeah. After that, I went, oh, this is what he's going to do with all these.
All right,
I don't have to raise the... He's not going to raise the bar anymore. He's just going to give me what we've had before.
That's right. I think we all had a little bit of... Well, I'll get to it. Mike, I mean, we all kind of grew up a little bit in this movie. It was like, oh, the past is over.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Ambers.
I kind of went into it with a similar philosophy as Jason here. I when you go in with managed expectations, you can't lose.
Right.
And I got exactly what I wanted out of the movie. I, at points, even really enjoyed it. And I did get hit in the feels a couple times. Is it too long by 15 minutes? Absolutely. Are there scenes that could have been excised? Absolutely. And I'm sure we'll do a deeper dive on that, too. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I'm a fanboy, but it can live on its own. And I walked away pretty satisfied.
Yeah. Considering the negative buzz it had on it immediately, it was easy to lower expectations if you were aware of that at all, which is what I did. Jessica, can you give a little background on Jessica's history with the Star Wars franchise?
Yeah, Jessica's history with the Star Wars franchise is not as big as perhaps I would like. She is definitely... She's a geek, and she definitely gets into geek culture, but Star Wars is one of the things that she just doesn't 100% jibe on, but that doesn't mean I haven't taken her to all the movies since the new ones since they've come out, and she knows enough about it and loves geek culture in and of itself anyway. Right. So
Jessica, are you comfortable telling us how old you are?
Not now. You made it weird.
Wow. I'm sorry.
Now we all have to go around and say how old we are.
Yep.
I think it's rude to ask a lady her age.
Yes. Ooh, girl. Yeah, but tell us anyway.
No
you
pressure.
Give us a range.
No pressure.
I'm 14.
All right, there we go. I was going to say, Alex, I know it's not polite to ask a lady their age.
Older than 21.
Okay. Your thoughts as somewhere in the middle ground here of somebody who did not grow up with the original franchise. You came into it in the 90s when the prequels came out and whatever. We've talked before on these podcasts about the impact that had on you. I'm curious about your perspective.
Man, you see, I came in with managed expectations too, and I feel like I walked away more upset than all of y'all. And I'm not even like that deep in it. Have you guys ever seen the things on the internet where like you give a robot one sentence and then they pump out a script?
Yeah.
I feel like JJ just did that for this movie, man. It feels...
Was it a bad robot? See, anybody who knows the production...
That's good. Okay, it's good.
Wow.
I think they're called droids.
There it is.
Yeah. Did you have more thoughts?
No, that's it. It sucked, man.
Wow. Can we just really all we got from Jessica was her age?
No,
can
I wanted to
get a general feeling. Did you ask my opinion?
No, I wanted to come back to you after having the somewhat older. He used to be the youngest guy in the room, and now you are the youngest human in the room. What is your impression, Jessica?
You know, Disney could have done worse.
Oh.
Disney could have done worse with the Star Wars franchise as it took over. And my other thought is Ray needs a costume change.
I mean, she got it in the laundry. It went from gray to white. So, like, that's a big win.
It went back to gray after all the battles.
That is true.
Well, it was dusty down on incel, so.
It is. What are you going to do?
And how did she keep those sleeves up the whole time without shoulders? I just don't get that.
And how does she not trip over, like, the thing?
Yeah, but I know that we haven't had we haven't seen any scenes of anybody doing laundry, which is interesting. Right, no. So where do we even begin? I will tell you that.
And rise or speak or whatever.
Yeah, Carrie Fisher.
There's no way that I could. We could conceivably, at least from my standpoint, go through the story, the plot of this film. It is one of the most convoluted of the entire saga. Mm-hmm. There were things in this, and please feel free to chime in. There were so many elements of this movie that were so not part of what I'm used to. There were missions and journeys. Now, Last Jedi, one of the things we picked on was that kind of side trip that
Little Rascals in Space?
Yes, yeah. That's right. The trip to the casino city and that whole thing, which ended up being not very important at all.
Yeah. Also, sidebar, I watched it on Netflix and skipped through all those scenes and made it a much better movie.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I mean, so here's a situation where we've got essentially them looking for a Tesseract of sorts. Yep. I mean, mm-hmm, it's like these triangles that, where did these come from? Why do they need these? Why did we need these? Why did we have to have that mission in there? Mm-hmm. Anybody. I mean, what? There were so many things where they were going on. I felt like this was The Rise of Skywalker, a Star Wars story. Like, it was some sort of standalone plot that they had, and they tried to kind of lay it over the whole Star Wars saga.
On the negative side of things, the biggest problem I had with it, and I was like, okay, this is Disney. You can't sit here and tell me in the media this is the end of the Skywalker storyline, mm-hmm, and then name this shit The Rise of Skywalker. Like, I'm not stupid. You know, I was born on day, but it wasn't yesterday. And I can read. I'm good with English. And that was some bullshit. Even though I enjoyed the film.
Yeah.
It just, I go, oh, okay, I see what y'all trying to do. And you didn't get me. Like, it was interesting. The first thing I said to my wife when I was going in was, I'm just ready for this to be done.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. And what was interesting was we were going to go on Friday. And somehow or another, the download got messed up at the Grove.
Oh, really?
So all the movies were backed up by 2 hours.
Ooh.
That's Alex and I had that Force Awakens debacle. Yeah. Same deal.
And so I went, oh, this is where we're at. Okay. Y'all don't even download and test stuff anymore. You just expect to work. All right. My expectations have gotten lowered a little bit more, which is probably why I enjoyed it as much as I did.
And everyone was mega patient and willing to wait, right?
Yeah. Everybody's willing.
Really?
Everybody's willing to wait. We didn't, because my wife was already asleep when we got there.
So, Mikey?
So, you know, it's interesting. I hadn't thought of it, but when you said, like, Rise of Skywalker, a Star Wars story, that would have been a good movie, because if there had been a standalone movie where they explained about, you know, the backstory, setting up, bringing in new canon to then propel Rise of Skywalker, that would have been a good story on its own. But introducing canon in the last chapter of a story does seem like a bit of a cheat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Trey, you were saying that it felt like a warm, comfy blanket. What were the things about it that made you feel at home and that you were in good enough hands that you enjoyed it?
Well, look, I mean, you could probably lob this same thing as a critique, but I mean, obviously there was a short list of things that needed to be ticked off, boxes that needed to be ticked off to satisfy the older fans in the room. So, you know, whether you're seeing each and every one of the available, whether living or dead, original characters, including Lando Calrissian, you know, all of that stuff, being able to see, are we into spoiler mode
yet? He's in the trailer.
Yeah, okay, good. No. I mean, just being able to see from the major characters to small, you know, one-off sort of quick cameos is a thing that I was glad was done.
Yeah, things we liked. I mean, let's pull the positives out here. I definitely enjoyed the familiar stuff as well. I do have a theory about that I want to talk later, where I feel like we could have moved on a while ago. To me, one of the – I'll get into criticisms here. The biggest issue is trying to juggle both the fan service with, you know, moving mm-hmm. this new storyline and trying to tie them together. But I was at first a little wary of the 3PO, journey that he had. I ended up kind of liking that.
Didn't go far enough for me.
Yeah. What's that?
It didn't go far enough for
me. I agree.
Yeah,
it could.
It was a great, interesting opportunity.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And then it just kind of got resolved, and it was fine.
Which I think was my biggest beef with this in a lot of ways overall, is like everything they set up got resolved immediately.
Yeah.
Nothing was earned.
That's right.
Nothing was earned.
Right.
But I did get the feels like in that last 20 minutes. I do think that in some ways the resolution managed to put a little balm on some of the agitation I was having. There was kind of a wrap up to everything that while not satisfactory, at least manipulated me enough in the moment that I had the little tingles and I had the little I will tell you.
The wrap up on Tatooine.
Okay. I mean, look, I was looking for any moment where I could look. The Force Awakens to me was a really powerful movie. I will defend that one forever because I think it did everything I wanted it to do. It reintroduced me to these characters I haven't seen in so long. It introduced new characters that told me where there was a new story to be told. Mm-hmm. And kind of, now it's easy to do this in hindsight. I'll just jump to this theory. I mean, in my mind, if I were rewriting things right now, I would have let The Force Awakens pretty much almost be a standalone movie as it was, mm-hmm. and let Han, Luke, and Leia's stories basically wrap up there, mm-hmm. and then let this new generation, mm-hmm. Star Wars, the new generation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can take that. He probably will. Yeah.
And he'll probably cast Jean-Luc Picard in the role.
Disney's lawyers are listening, and they've already got the contract up for you.
Exactly.
Yeah, they've got everything trademarked.
He's going to be part of the new generation.
I'll sign up.
DO1, the robot.
Yeah.
And we'll just use the droids to propel it forward like we did R2 and C-3PO.
But
that'll
baby
be.
Robot. Yeah.
I would have enjoyed The Last Jedi instead have been the first chapter of Poe and Rey.
And just move on from there.
Yeah. And Finn. And let them, and instead of all those kind of side plots they were trying to cram in and then make everything tie up in this third one, I loved seeing Han and Chewie. I would have enjoyed seeing more Luke in first one. We had plenty of Leia in that first one. Let them wrap up that story, and then we could have moved on. And again, easy to say in hindsight, but what I felt like in this one especially is that we were trying to balance so much fan service and so much of these new people's storylines that you – and introducing new droids. I mean, I would have been fine – with R2-D2 and C-3PO being retired in the first movie, and let BB-8 and this new guy Dio.
Forgettable boy.
Yeah. We got so many elements going on, and I didn't care about almost any of them, and not to mention Kylo Ren, which had the potential to maybe be some kind of villain, but he just turned into emo healer boy. I don't know what this movie was.
He's what happens when Hot Topic gets the Force.
I think you just took my laugh.
Oh, wow.
So that's where you get your best material from.
Hot Topic, yes.
See, I was going to say it was just nice to see J.J. Abrams stealing something from The Phantom Menace instead of just the original trilogy about Kylo Ren. So, because he's a lot more prequel bad guys in Hayden Christensen than he is in this one, at least. Kylo Ren is just kind of like stands around and mopes. So
I do think it's hard. I have more positives. This is not like me to be filled with happy side
the
of things.
Christmas spirit, right?
Maybe that's it.
I want to ask.
More of my positives require the ability to speak to specifics. But I will say, in while we're still in the realm of generalities, there were some moments that I found to be satisfying and interesting explorations of that classic battle between the Force and the dark side, on singular character levels, but also in terms of the relationship between characters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that I liked the idea of Kylo Ren and Rey having this connection. Yes. And I think in terms of kind of technically those scenes where they were kind of in their each other's dimension, I thought that was effective in The Last Jedi, and I thought it was very effective here until they started being able to transfer objects back and forth. And it was like, oh, that's convenient. And then you basically have the climatic scene of Die Hard with the gun behind the head, which, you know, if you're going to borrow from a Christmas movie, hey, why not?
It's not a Christmas movie.
It's definitely a Christmas movie.
Thank you, Jessica.
Christmas movie. 100%.
You're going to lose this one, kid. I told you.
Yeah. This is that's a whole different podcast, Jessica. You'll be on that one.
I did enjoy this the scenery, the cinematic scene.
Yeah.
Seeing the old cruisers and the Death Star and just seeing these worlds that had been impacted by the distant past and where they were now. I enjoyed that. And I also enjoyed how they kind of started to unpack the Stormtrooper storylines.
Mm-hmm.
I really actually appreciated those a little bit more than I did in the past. Because I always was like, who are these dudes in these masks that run around and they can't shoot and always get hit by a handful of people? But then we kind of realized, oh, these are human beings that were just kind of taken.
Again, that would have been great if we had been focused on these newer characters that we could have learned more about Finn's history or even, you know, found people that he had been
in service with
and recognizing, oh my God, you were that dude. How they would know each other, I don't know. Why don't we go ahead and head into the details that could be spoiler filled.
Sound the klaxon.
They all die.
No.
It's not Rogue One.
Oh,
you
man.
Can't fool me.
Not all of them.
Chris died twice.
Yeah.
Although there is canon. Yeah. I'm with you on that, Alex. Yeah. But there is canon for that. So
is there?
It shouldn't.
Darth Maul.
No, yeah. It shouldn't be. Yeah. It's such a cheat.
Well,
code.
But and this movie made that canon because we had voices in there from Rebels and from Clone Wars. All the Jedi's, all the cartoon Jedi's that make.
It's bad canon, but it is canon. That was not invented for this.
I do have a genuine question about that. What are the laws of physics where Jedi get to either disappear into their clothes or have to be burnt on a ceremonial thing of sticks?
I understand you.
Correct.
Why do some get to transport naked and others have to be burnt alive?
Also, as long as we're on that tack, why do Jedi's get pretty glowy green, you know, or blue outlines around them where just somebody's memory of a person gets a nice clear as if he's standing there?
That's a great question, too. Yeah. Also, why do not all Jedi's get clear blue things? Because I didn't see a Ben Solo at the end hanging out with his mom and uncle.
And Kylo Ren probably was still at customs or something. He didn't get to make it for the...
Oh, is that what it is? He had to check. His helmet flagged him, and so they had to go in TSA.
Where make do sure they go legal. When they just disappear into their clothes? They're just...
Into the Force.
Yeah.
Force.
That's a Billie Eilish song about that, but...
There's a Billie Eilish song about
that. So if they disappear into the Force, somebody else can just have a piece of somebody dead in them.
Yeah, I mean... Well,
and free robe.
Well, let's talk about the healing. I mean, the life force healing thing. I
saw that. You had to see that coming.
Well, yeah, but okay. I guess.
I mean, we saw it coming. I'm just saying, why couldn't we use that on Yoda a couple seasons ago or a couple episodes? You know what I'm trying to say.
You know, that's an interesting point. Why is it that the Sith can regenerate like that, but Jedi don't?
Well, they said there's dark arts.
That's true. Okay, I'll allow that. Well, the Sith, I don't have a choice.
Go the extra step, which I assumed they were going to do in the moment of her healing him. In return, and everybody walks off happily ever after.
And then it's 25 minutes of them healing each other back and forth.
I thought they were going to do it anyway.
It's the fight from Endgame.
Something I buy from that is actually a point you made up, or you said earlier about the sort of light side, dark side kind of coming to a head in this one. And I do kind of feel like that was an interesting thought in terms of finding balance in the Force again.
Right.
That, you know, this typically dark art centric thing becomes used for good or for you know, a positive moment, which I kind of buy that in that dichotomy, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another thing that occurs to me. And in the moment, it felt... it was disappointing. And look, they knew they were going to be saddled with it, but the attempt to integrate Leia into this story was so rough. And look, I don't know. I don't have a solve for you because obviously that death was put everybody up against it. Yeah. But the sparse amount of footage that they were able to find and relegating General Leia to basically four lines that they forced into fitting and then a body double from behind, which, I mean, you know it. You know that you know it, but the character suddenly just disappears into a couple of sentences in reacting to everything.
It reminds me of that episode of Community where they only had like four lines of Senor Chang, and they were trying to capitalize on his thing, that like their space cop movie. That's what this really reminded me of, because they were forced into some weird writing holes to make the lines that they had work.
I think it could have been much more effective if they had just done with less of it.
Yeah,
like they were trying to squeeze the turnip as far as they
possibly
could.
Well, look, you're a showrunner. If that sort of situation happened to you, a major character that they didn't want to replace on a show, I mean, there's got to be some emergency game plan on that. I mean, I think they kind of missed an opportunity with The Last Jedi. Honestly, she died, and we maybe could have let her go. I mean, sorry, but we could have let her go. Because, by the way, her resurrection in space and her floaty space swim back to whatever was one of the most laughable elements of that movie to me. And
I'm sorry, but why did she disappear the second her son did? That's just like simultaneous death.
She was connected to him.
Yeah. She gave her life force, but long distance.
But Luke got to do that for like a whole like ship battle. So what is he?
Sexism.
But Luke was a practicing Jedi, and she was just kind of meh.
She practiced halfway. She did half a journey.
She's a girl, so she's weaker.
Yeah. Well, Luke has a Class C license, and she only has like a Class A license. She can only do short distance.
Look, if they had to do it, they just could have done with less of it. It could have all boiled down to even just a memory that someone had of
which,
her.
Honestly, could be the subtitle of this movie.
That's probably true.
Less of it.
It's probably true.
Less of the Jedi.
Any other details that we need to go over? I mean, what's interesting here is that past Star Wars movies, we've been able to talk for an hour and a half and I have to cut everybody off. But we don't really have that much to say. I mean, I think the issue here is that we don't get to celebrate this franchise the way we should. Mm-hmm. We are all, no matter how warm and comfy it is, or no matter how upset we are about, you know, ruining our childhoods, whatever the balance is there, this wasn't the celebration it should have been, could have been. And again, I go back to Force Awakens, which I saw three times, and I got emotional every time I watched that movie, which is why I kind of had high hopes for J.J. to maybe pull this off. And look, J.J. has his own thing, too, because we can look at his history, and it's very spotted. There are major highlights, and there are some big moments of tanking storytelling-wise. Mm-hmm. Super 8 comes to mind as something high concept with all sorts of great elements that was just kind of there and didn't move the needle at all.
Mm-hmm. So what could have, in your mind, especially you, Alex, since you seem to have the most visceral reaction to it in the room, how could he have stuck the landing?
I mean, I think that's, it's easy for me to be the humdrum person. And honestly, I did have fuzzy, warm feelings during the movie. I did. But to me, it comes down to, really, boy, I would have been fine almost with all of it until the kiss moment.
I'm sorry, that made so many fans happy, though.
That encapsulates how little he really cared about these characters. That felt like the most insincere rush thing. And that's the thing, like, I'm not a canon head. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that did go over my head. And I actually liked the last two movies, frankly. Like, I'm not a hard customer to please, but, like, there was a lack of respect for some of these new characters. I think it was like what you were talking about earlier, where there was just opportunities to flesh them out and to have our new happy ending, not the ending we thought we wanted years ago.
They could have done worse than just a kiss.
Oh, explain more, Jessica, in front of your father.
No,
well, I mean, she does know about, you know, Luke and Leia's kiss back on Empire before we knew,
Right.
You know.
Sweet.
So this is not. This is yeah.
I loved seeing any of the lightsaber battles. I'm going to the positive.
Super cool.
Yeah. Loved the lightsaber battles. I love the amount of intention they endowed the sabers with this time. Mm-hmm. They kind of always glazed over it in the last few, but this time around, I was like, okay, yeah, they're lifting these things back up to this, these totems back up to this level of, oh, this is actually, this is, you have to be skilled to have one of these. Mm-hmm, and discovering that Leia had one, I thought was, personally, I thought it was really cool. Mm-hmm. I loved Rey's that she had created at the end. Yeah. I thought that, I've been waiting to see that color for a long time. the only thing that did bother me was, I was like, the desert backflip. I was like, oh, is that what we're doing?
That's in the trailer.
Huh? I know it's in the trailer, but they didn't complete it in the trailer. They showed the trailer. They didn't show what she was going to do.
Yeah.
And would you have preferred she crashed?
No, I wouldn't have preferred she crashed. I would have preferred they just did not do that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I get how dope she is. And anytime she was on screen, I was going, okay, I'm leaning forward and watching her do her thing. Because it's fun to watch her particularly work with the Force and be a master of it. But that was the one thing I went, okay, she's getting too many of these... She was getting too many Spidey senses. Following him, chasing him, and always being right. I was waiting for some of those to not be right. But that one moment with her cutting off the wing of his ship was
Actually that is a good point, because I think in the past when we have seen that just because you have the Force doesn't make you invulnerable.
Yes.
And I've always liked that. It's because you still have to make a choice, you still have to lean into it, and you have a way of going from, I mean, I think it makes it more relatable. When suddenly you're almost bulletproof, and you have, I mean, be better than everybody else, but I think you still have to have some flaws, and I think that's what makes it interesting.
And in fact, she considers herself too dangerous. I actually really like the scene where she tries to strand herself on Luke's island, and that sort of was a nice little character growth moment for me.
Yeah, she felt more vulnerable to me in good ways on, I had to look it up, it's called Kef Beer, I guess, the ocean moon. Mm-hmm. To me, that was sort of some great gritty action that felt a little more human and a little more.
I just feel like around the time we were had some momentum on something, there would be like the humor fell flat. Mm-hmm. You know, lines that were supposed to be funny just seemed kind of standard. There was a lot of this.
Ray!
Yeah,
there was a lot of screaming names.
A lot of names.
Yeah. A lot of names screaming.
Finn's Michael Bay. Most famous
and
line.
Yeah, right? What's that?
That was Finn's most famous line.
Yeah, he said Rey many times. And I also felt like I know these people have kind of bonded, but they almost feel like they're way closer than they should be.
Yeah.
Yes. Like they really, we rely on each other. Like Finn and Poe and the hug at the end. And it's like, have you guys really even been around each other that much to have created this bond? I mean,
especially because every time we see them, they're complaining about how long somebody else has been gone.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Like it's half of what they say.
You're absolutely right. I mean, in Last Jedi, Finn and what's her face?
Rose Tico.
Rose, who has been relegated basically to babysitter. She's like, I'm gonna hang with General Leia, which means we might as well both be dead at this point. I don't think they earned that.
They didn't any more than they earned. I mean, we were basically being force-fed Janna's obviously telegraphed attraction for Finn. Like, I mean, I understand that romantic triangulation is a big part of the whole franchise, but like, it just felt clunky throughout this one.
They were trying to. I think this is one of the areas where Disney, being involved, gets in the way. Because you have,
romantic.
Even though I know, Trey, you disagree, you have the end of the Avengers Infinity Saga, the way that they finished it up and the way that they were able to tie in a great number of loose strings and give us a relatively satisfying finish. I think they see that and go, oh, let's try to do that with Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And there's just too much. You know, it's the difference between making movies over 10 years and making them over 42.
I think okay, Chris wants to jump in,
or he needs to take a break and go pee.
It's both.
I don't. Okay.
No. You bring up Endgame, and it reminded me when all of the ships came out of the sky at the end on the wherever they were, the Exodar. Immediately,
Incel.
Incel? Yeah. Incel. immediately, I looked over at the one of the guys I came with, and I was like, on your left, because all of the ships just came out, and it was that same damn scene from the end of Endgame when everybody came back.
That's the problem. Mm-hmm. That's part of the challenge
yeah.
we're going to be facing with these two universes that we know and love, is that Disney is going to... They just replicate. I mean, it's nothing wrong yeah. with it, but they go, this works over here, it should work over here. And that's when you go, no, yeah, it doesn't, yeah, guys. Yeah. You got to keep these things, these ideologies have to stay separated.
All right, well, then that leads me to maybe kind of next phase in this, which is end of a saga, perhaps, not the end of Star Wars right. by a long shot.
No,
so
no.
here we have a brand, basically. There's already... You know, a lot of talk about, I have only seen one episode of Mandalorian, but it's created a lot of memes and buzz, and it's doing exactly what it wanted to mm-hmm. do. I don't know yet if I've heard anybody say it's great. I've heard people say, yeah, it's pretty good. And maybe that's enough. Jessica, now you need to pee.
I thought it would grab your attention like it grabbed his.
It did. Yeah, anytime you need my attention, just start bouncing.
Jump up and down, wave yeah. your hand.
Do a little dance.
What's the hype over Baby Yoda?
Wow, he's she just
really
walks away from the mic like, yeah.
He's really cute. He's just cute.
He's not he's a, that cute.
He's cute,
he's
and he's got
pure
powers.
CGI.
It's pure. Well, part of it, he's not. Some of it is, and some of it isn't. Yeah. But just
he's,
seeing
look,
him,
he's memeable. So that I mean, look, this new
he's,
this
he's
speaks,
grown up Gizmo.
This speaks to no. a different generation who is looking.
Don't feed him after 12.
We're gonna win.
Especially
by the way,
coffee.
don't
eat your frog.
That's look. That's a major problem. If we want to get
into a rancor monster,
if we want to go into a gremlins rabbit hole, I'm more than happy. Don't feed him after midnight, but there was no time frame. It's like, okay, after midnight, is that Pacific time? Is that East Coast time?
They cover that whole thing in Gremlins 2, and I love it. It's one of the funniest scenes in the movie. Yeah, they talk about time zones, like what happens if they eat on an airplane, and there's like a seed stuck in his teeth, and then he crosses into the neck. It's a whole fantastic, hilarious piece. Gremlins 2, can't recommend it enough. Check it out.
Gremlins 2 fan cast, everybody.
I guess I finally have to watch Gremlins 2.
I guess we'll be snark monkeying that, what, next week?
Yeah, next month.
Why not?
I really enjoyed the trailers.
By the way, how many did you see?
I saw 4 of them.
I saw 6.
Did you see?
They
you had 6?
They went on forever.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we had Bad Boys.
I had to pee by the time the trailers were done.
Would you like to speak now?
Yeah.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
Can you?
May I?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jessica.
Boy.
Thank you. Saucy.
Look at her dad.
I liked the Palpatine line, I've been every voice you've ever heard inside your head.
Yeah.
I liked that whole notion of Palpatine as this, in purely mythological terms, as Satan, mm-hmm. right? As the notion of Ben being manipulated since the very beginning. It was interesting to me.
Yeah.
I'm a cosign. And the fact that Palpatine is, and I can't remember the actor's name off the top of my head right now, Ian
McDermott.
He is so dope that every time he's anywhere near the screen or in the franchise or off screen, he makes it better.
Yeah. I was surprised actually how much I liked those scenes, how creepy he was coming down with that whatever. I mean, and they didn't take any time to explain why he's connected to all this mechanism.
Yeah.
And I didn't need any world building there. I bought into that immediately, and I thought that was weird and creepy and fine.
It was very Voldemort-y.
Yeah.
which is my new adjective for everything now.
That we shall not speak.
We can talk. One thing I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, as we have now delved into spoilerish things, the one thing I didn't like is that when it is the final battle, the final war, there have to be stakes.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody has to die and stay dead. And that didn't happen. And there were a couple of cheats, but it has to have an emotional gut punch.
Yeah,
and there,
yeah.
we thought there were a couple, but they were fakes. Mm-hmm. And that turned me a little bit.
I thought the stakes got blown out, like, out of proportion too quickly, because like, now there's like 30 Death Stars, basically.
Yeah.
Because do I have it right? Those
Each
individual
one of those
ships
cruisers has a planet destroying.
Yeah. So that felt like it just went like, whoa! like way out of the out of the realm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. First Order has. I have to say, their R&D department is pretty on point. They got their they're advancing technology at a very
rapid
rate.
They have a
dark
Tony Stark down there doing all.
There we go. But yeah,
that's
I mean,
what happened when he died. He went to.
I mean,
Star Wars.
I think
he
the
went to incel.
The Chewbacca's dead. Psych. Thing was like,
that
oh,
me
dumb.
That too.
Do it and let him go.
But how powerful would it have been if he'd actually died?
Yeah.
I mean, gut punch, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Or as we said, the C-3PO, if he had been wiped forever and started from scratch, I mean, that's kind of an interesting thing.
It was such
thing.
A missed opportunity.
The one,
you could have had fun with it, and there was something bittersweet and sorrowful about him forgetting everything that had come before.
I mean, the moment he reintroduced himself with the exact same way he introduced himself, it was just like, there's that one little glimmer of like, oh, there's an idea.
The one thing I will say is Chewbacca not being dead made for what I thought was the most powerful, important part of the movie.
He finally got his medal.
That too, but like, but when he found out that Leia died, and he got to just let that roar go, like that, I think was such a cathartic, like old fan, like celebration of Carrie Fisher too. That it was nice to see.
However, it reminded me of what pissed me off in Jedi,
right?
Because when Han died, he should have ripped apart every creature within
that part.
He's like, oh no,
All right, so what do we want now that this is done? Oh, Chris, I got you all excited. Do we want more Star Wars movies? We're going to get Star Wars movies. In what fashion are we going to get them? Or should we keep it in the mode that it's now in now, which is the animated series, the Mandalorian-style series? Are there enough stories to tell in a different way that this idea of they say they're not going to do these trilogies anymore, but do we need one-off movies? Do we need to see these characters again? Who has thoughts?
I will say, I'm going to co-sign with JK here. That warm, fuzzy blanket I talked about at the top of this, I'm content with folding it up and putting it away, or maybe putting it in the blue recycling bin at this point. I think whatever happens next, they need to earn my attention and interest.
I don't think they're going to be very hard-pressed to get Gen X back into the film structure of these stories, because they built it on our backs, and then they broke our backs, and then they tried to kind of spoon feed us something to make us go at the very end. And I'm just glad that it's done. And if they're going to come back and start making future movies, like, don't worry about us. We have our Star Wars stories. Go tell a different set of stories for a different generation. Gear them the way you want to gear them. But let me know that in the trailer, and I won't go. I'm good. Like, don't come up with no more toys that I'm going to like. Don't just leave me. Don't even put it in a galaxy a long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. It can be in a galaxy right across the street a short while ago, and I'll know, oh, this ain't for me. But I'm satisfied. I'm done. I don't need to see any more. I don't need to see any more of the Skywalker universe.
You've been giving me the same signs as far as Marvel, too. I mean, you're kind of...
I need a break. Like, I need a break. Cause
spandex fatigue.
Spandex. And what's with the challenge with Marvel, and I know that they're going to get me, because they at least take their time. They are going to go... They're not going to try and give us what we just got with the Infinity Saga. They're smart enough to go, no, we gave you that. Now we're going to take you down a different journey. We're going to hop, skip, and jump for a few years, and then we're going to jump. Then we're going to drop into something that's really interesting, and we're going to pull you all in, and then we're going to tie it all together, and you're going to go, oh, that was smart. That was really well done.
Piggybacking on that, though, Jason, is that Marvel has the advantage over the Star Wars stories in that they've got just such a much deeper well to pull from to tell those stories. And a lot of what's going on in the Star Wars universe with you know, Mandalorian and Rebels and all that is stuff that is being kind of made in the moment. And so in many ways Marvel has the advantage in that. I agree with you. I'm satisfied. That said, if a new one comes out, look, we all know all of us are going to see it.
I'm
going
to go.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're kidding yourself if you
keep it 100.
Yeah, exactly. So, and we'll be back here, you know, bitching about it too 3 days later. And we know. Well, look, I've already predicted the future, and that's my force ability.
That said,
I mean, I'm enjoying The Mandalorian quite a bit.
Okay.
The first three episodes were very good. The second three episodes were essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
One-off, you know, backstory, setup. The most recent episode I thought was really good, with good stakes and good emotion, and I'm excited for the finale. I think it's a good, I think you'd like it because it's very much a Western.
No, I'm going to dig in, and Alex and I started it together, and I think we'll finish, or we'll continue into it. And also, you know, it's, at this point, it's gotten enough buzz out there in the universe. I'm curious, for Jessica and Alex, representing two different generations, does Star Wars moving forward mean something to you in a way that you are willing to follow along?
Well, I would like to see more backstory kind of thing rather than continuing with the current plot. I would prefer maybe a backstory of Princess Leia while she was in Alderaan, and then it got blown up, and now she's homeless and sad with no family. But the current plot and the way it's going, I kind of just want to steal a porg and blow everything else up.
Wow, porg stealer.
My first relationship with Star Wars for real were the video games, and I found that I really enjoyed those stories a ton when they weren't focus directly on Jedi and the Force power users. I think there's a lot of opportunity, like things like The Mandalorian, to find these more pedestrian stories, these more human stories of, because there's so much, you know, texture in the universe. I think you could tell a lot of fun stories with different smugglers, and like, I think the one-off thing is going to be the future of Star Wars, in my opinion.
Mm. And I agree with you. And I'll go one further and say that the one-off stories, especially, and Jessica will back me up, we fully believe Rogue One is my favorite movie of the entire series.
It's great.
Oh, wow. Mm. So great.
Because it is just a standalone story. It is basically the Dirty Dozen, which is awesome, one. And two, the way it just dovetails right into New Hope is had me feeling Star Wars related feelings I hadn't felt since Empire Strikes Back, but Rogue One for me is the best.
Yeah. I think the idea, when you mentioned that Mandalorian is basically a Western, I think the idea of kind of appropriating genre and finding an inventive way to do Star Wars, like I would be interested in seeing like a noir Star Wars series, like almost a detective style, you know, rejigger.
I think that's what they were hoping to do with Solo. But failed miserably.
Yeah. But something that's almost like a procedural in that world. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, take that familiar sort of format, maybe not that, but something like that feels familiar, but you put it in this new landscape. And I'd be curious to see if you could pull that off. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to come down to, you know, they clearly have the money. They're going to attract good talent and then kind of, you know, stay with the mythology and the canon that pre-exists so that the fans are happy.
With traveling down the road of canon, the challenge is that they do have a ton of it, and they just haven't – they've been scratching the surface of the surface with the Skywalker story. There's countless books that are out there that have great stories. A friend of mine was cast as second sister in the new video game Fallen Order, Jedi Fallen Order, and – I've been hearing about it and watching some of the clips of it. I'm going, why don't y'all tell these stories? Like, it's really interesting what they're doing cinematically in the video game world. And if they would travel down that path, that would get me back. That's where I think they have a lot of meat in there that they could dig into.
And they're supposed to be. They keep talking about doing like the Old Republic video games from back in the early 2000s as like a new set of movies. And those were great stories. And there's a lot of, you can go back and like reestablish the Jedi like mythos and the rules and order.
I also thought you touched on this, JK, with the getting inside the head of a stormtrooper a little bit. Like every time I kept seeing Richard E. Grant, who was essentially doing the best he could to play Peter Cushing. But every time I saw him, because I like him as an actor, I kept wanting to go deeper into that world, the psyche of somebody working for the Empire.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right? The family that he's got to feed, the decisions that he has to make, and why, you know, on a personal level. That's interesting.
Well,
that's
with regard to the Old Republic, now that they've got the Ben Kenobi series that's going to be coming out on Disney Plus as well with Ewan McGregor, that might actually deal with Old Republic a little bit.
Old Republic's way, way before. Republic.
Talking generations.
Darth Revan and Malak and all of that.
That's a long time ago.
To know who these people are.
No, Jessica's fine. No, he's a big old nerd.
I will say the one standalone movie I am the most interested in seeing is the woman who slept with crispy ass Emperor Palpatine.
Who did it?
That's the movie I want to see. Yeah. I want to know who she is. I want to know how much he paid her. Oh. I want to know what happened, because timeline wise, he had to have been post set on fire Mace Windu electrified face. And I want to know. I want to see it go down.
So, since we haven't really dealt with Rey's lineage yet, was anybody surprised? Going in, for the last 3 years, ever since Force Awakens, I was... The whole thing was, what's Rey's lineage? What's Rey's lineage? Mm-hmm. And I was 100% certain she was Kenobi. Like, you couldn't have steered me any other direction, because he was kind of rakish, and you know he wouldn't have listened to the Jedi rules about not having kids and all that. And he was on Tatooine for a long time by himself. So I thought for sure she was Kenobi. So to find out she's Palpatine... Obviously, they gave that away when we thought Chewie died, but that was kind of a light bulb moment for me, too.
It's also been a fan theory for a bit that has gotten a lot of momentum, so it didn't feel like a big surprise to me. Mm-hmm. But it does make sense, except for the fact that we're having a difficult time. You know, it's going to have
a monster.
Yeah, but you know, there's some freaky ladies a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Yeah.
I mean, far away is a freaky galaxy.
Hear me out. He went back to the cantina from the first one, found some weird lady, probably working for deceased Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah,
and. Done.
I like it. Yeah. I would watch that movie.
Yeah, right? 100%, right?
We know you would.
Right? Oh,
I would watch that over and over.
Star Wars After Dark.
Too bad Disney won't ever go for that.
One thing about Rey's lineage, though, that you did remind me of, is it's crazy to me that both Luke and Leia knew who she was. Is there like a baby registry somewhere that people are like, oh, I see you're Force sensitive. Let me just check and see who your parents are. Oh, Palpatine. Okay. Like, I just was like, how does everybody know?
Yeah, but which is interesting, because Jess and I were talking this on the cars. How did they know that she was Palpatine? Yeah. But Leia should have ideally known she was Skywalker, and certainly in New Hope. Vader should have known he was in front of his daughter. Uh-huh. If the Force is that. So,
and how did Snoke not know then? Right. If Palpatine's like, you're my granddaughter, and then how did Snoke not know? Like, how?
He created Snoke.
How did Kylo Ren know?
No, like, you saw the jar that he had Snoke in. Yeah. Like, he created him, so he was like...
Created him to not know?
Like, he created him, man. When you create something, you decide to...
Wait, does that make her Snoke's brother?
Oh. That's weird.
This is getting a little too far and
this
a little
too legal.
This
is the movie I want to see.
Yeah.
Disney, pay close attention.
Somebody's got to put, like, a 23andMe genealogy chart.
Henry Louis Gates is available to do the DNA testing.
Well, look, no matter what we say in here about this last movie, there is so much affection. Obviously, the fact that we are here to talk about this, that we are so invested in it, let's give a little bit of a tip of a hat to George Lucas for actually conjuring this out of his imagination and creating this phenomenal thing that has just become this worldwide. You know, if there's anything in the world we can agree on right now, is that we're interested in Star Wars, and we will probably be, for the rest of our lifetime, in some way connected to it. So I would like to wrap up this final Snark Monkey, and only like the second one of 2019.
Of the 20-teens in general.
That's right. It's the end of an era and a decade. So before we give up all of our healing life force to somebody else in the universe, I would like to, outside of the Star Wars universe, outside of any of the other things we might have talked about, can any of us go through and look at some of the things that brought us great joy in 2019, whether they're Star Wars or Marvel or whatever related? And I will start to give you guys, because I didn't give you warning ahead of time, but is there anything pop culture-wise that you really just brought you great joy? And off the top of my head, I kind of followed the pack and listened to the buzz, and my wife and I jammed through 2 seasons of Succession on HBO, and it is just horribly bad people doing terrible things to each other, and it's so much fun to watch because it makes your family look so close to normal. It is really satisfying, and I've enjoyed every moment of the delicious terrible stuff that these white people are doing to each other with all this money they've got.
That's called America.
Yeah. Hey. It's pretty fascinating. Also, I did see Parasite, which you have to see.
Amazing.
I don't think anything else has lived up to that, and Jojo Rabbit might be a close second for me because I found great joy in that as well. Mm-hmm. And if I think of anything else, I'll tack it on here at the end. But also just getting to see you guys again and meeting Jessica, who is delightful, and having my son back in Southern California after years of living on the East Coast is the greatest joy we could have ever asked. It's a Christmas miracle.
Yeah.
Trey Calloway.
Shut up, Dad.
And also take the time to tell what else you might have going on that people should check out.
Who cares about that stuff? I will say this. All the things that you cited, I also enjoyed. Fleabag was an enormous, probably one of the best things I've ever seen on television. Watchmen, although confusing and mind-blowing at points, is certainly something I've never seen on television. But to circle back... I'm not sitting here talking about Fleabag or Watchmen. I don't know any of you guys if I didn't go to the Fox 4 Theater in Tulsa, Oklahoma 42 years ago and see Star Wars 11 times in a row and spend all of my lawn mowing money that I earned that summer to see it again and again and have this epiphany as a kid in Tulsa that, oh, that's a thing that you can do for a living. I had no idea how to get there at that point, but just to introduce this idea that these creative talents can get together and create a world was mind-blowing for me. So I no matter how much we want to criticize Rise of Skywalker, I'm not here without this franchise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Chris McGann.
Watchmen 2, I've been loving, and I'm glad to
Wait,
see it.
There's already a Watchmen 2?
Yeah. Okay. That was my fun laugh. Gremlins 2, clearly I need to bring up again as an amazing movie, because it's a great movie in its own right and a brilliant parody of the source material. Can't recommend it enough. But
he's actually not wrong, by the way. Gremlins 2 is awesome.
Fantastic.
This is not
it's
the
great.
First time I've heard this, and I've just never seen it.
Yeah. I also, this might have flown under the radar a little bit, but Ready or Not is with Adam Brody and a bunch of other people whose name is Samara Weaving and other people is a fantastic thrill ride of a movie. If you guys haven't seen it, it's this woman marries into a gaming empire and has to play a game of hide and seek for her life, and it is fantastic and just nonsensical and just fun. I too like think about that a lot, like as I was walking out of Rise of Skywalker, how much Star Wars like opened my eyes to how storytelling could go and stuff mm-hmm. early on in my life and made me go, I want to do that. I want to be out there in the stars specifically with aliens. But I'm bad at astronauting, so here I am.
Awesome.
That's what I got there.
JK, Jason Kelly.
When they see us on Netflix, Ava DuVernay rocked my world watching that. There were so many incredible performances to see the complete and total breakdown of the family unit and how police work at that time was forced and corrupted upon an entire community so one person could get her man, basically. Mm-hmm. But Jarrell Jerome's performance in that should not have gone unnoticed in the Golden Globe nominations this year, mm-hmm. nor should that entire series been unnoticed and unnominated. But I'm glad they put it out there because they didn't put it out there for the Globe. They put it out there for everybody to go, oh, this is a version of what happened or what could have happened. And I'm grateful that she made it. I'm also shouting out one of my best friends. I'm so happy to see him having his moment after everything he has been through with the Star Wars, his Star Wars journey. I'm at best hosting the new Jedi Temple Challenge that's coming on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. Man, I mean, had a tear coming down my cheek when I saw the announcement because he's gone through a lot, put up with a lot, and I've never seen an individual take so much and still stay as strong and as positive as he is, and a real light So it's, I'm grateful to see him out there shining again. And yeah. I can't wait to see
him. He's been out there over the past year talking very openly about after Phantom Menace, how he seriously considered taking his own life at one point. And that's and that just shows you the darkest side of fandom when things take an ugly turn through nobody's fault other than just trying to do good work and being part of something that they thought was going to be a glorious thing to to be connected to. So good on him.
And that was that all happened pre-social media too.
Today
it would be a thousand times worse.
Drastically worse.
Well, no wordplay intended, but give Ahmed our best. And
He's rock solid. I saw him last night.
Yeah, good.
He's good.
All right.
He's good.
Love that guy.
So for me,
Mikey Ambers.
Yes, I haven't seen Watchmen yet. It is on the binge list, and I'm on hiatus now, so I will be getting to it. But for me, I'm just happy with 2019 in the way that so much good or bad has resolved. Like, we've finished the Star Wars saga. We finished this version, this part of the Marvel saga. We finished, again, good or bad, Game of Thrones. It's, there's a lot of closure.
The Trump saga, that ended today. So that was cool.
Well, then, I haven't seen
you haven't checked the news?
No,
okay.
The news is for suckers. So I like that a lot of fandom is reaching conclusions this year, and so that's been nice because it's such a burden to stay on top of all that stuff. For me, the pop culture thing that is coming to mind, it's not film, it's not TV. Again, you may actually be privy to this. The X-Men comic books have been bad for a long time, and they rebooted the entire series with House of X and Powers of X, and basically re-established and rewrote the entire canon behind the formation, the creation of the X-Teams, and mutants in general, and mutant life in specific, and it totally turned the entire X-Men universe on its side, 180 degrees from what you expect, and it is brilliant.
It's fantastic. You're right. I don't know how I forgot about it. I love it. Almost all the books that have come out of it, I've really been loving the journeys they've taken.
Good enough to be the basis for a potential expansion into other media.
You know what? It's enough of an original concept. I mean, because they have really rewritten the entire canon and backstory of mutantdom that it could dovetail itself.
Ooh.
Into the greater MCU that way.
Be good timing. Yeah. Jessica, what about you?
Well, even though I'm not too much of a fan of Star Wars, I know without my dad have showing it to me, I would have never gotten into pop culture, geek culture, or a new thing that my dad do. My dad and I do, which is we binge 80s movies on Friday nights.
Oh, man. You got one in particular that...
what do you like?
Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
It is a Christmas movie. There was a tree and a Santa Claus.
And the wife's name is Holly.
Yeah. By the way, I hear Gremlins 2 is amazing. You should check it out.
not an 80s movie, though. It's a 90s movie. Oh, I just want
to qualify. Do I have to watch Gremlins first?
Gremlins 1 and also Christmas movie.
Also Christmas movie.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Alexander Morgan.
Yes, sir. I think everything you guys mentioned, I think, is amazing. So I think I'm going to stay Star Wars focused. One good example of something I've been binging that is in Star Wars canon and is homegrown is a podcast called The Campaign Podcast. It's a couple of IO Chicago improvisers doing an improvised Shakespeare story. Or Shakespeare, Jesus. Star Wars.
Same thing.
It's all confusing.
They do it all in verse. No, but it's a really good example of how you can take a really rich piece of lore and make it something really listenable and enjoyable and casual. It's like a very easy listen. And then the other thing I just want to mention is like I came in here with a lot of heat. And this franchise did not start with my generation, and I think it's very easy for millennials to look at a lot of things that we have been gifted and blessed and be like, well, that sucks. One of the coolest moments for me actually walking out of that movie was seeing a kid humming the John Williams theme as we walked out, and how that was like a strangely emotional thing for me of how timeless the music is in that film and how it'll probably permeate until the end of time. And that's a really, really powerful thing of that franchise for me. And really grateful for John Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it's similar to what Trey said earlier, is that, you know, we all wouldn't be in this room without it. I wouldn't have gone to USC and had the experiences that I had if I hadn't heard of somebody named George Lucas and aspired to do that, despite the path that my life took. I would not trade that for anything. There's so much joy and so much excitement of discovering that world, and also, as Trey said, discovering that you can be that creative. I mean, one of the things that George Lucas said early on was that all he was doing was making something that he would want to see.
Rashomon.
Cliffhangers and all those things that he felt passionate about as a kid and brought them into something that we had never seen before. I as well remember the absolute thrill at the end of in 1977 when I was there on opening weekend at Wynwood Cinema in Odessa, Texas. And that theme that Alex mentions comes up, and the thrill of that just wipe of George Lucas's credit coming up. Somebody in the theater decided that it would be a great place to hang a disco ball and shine a light on it. So there were stars floating around you as we all got up, and collectively people walked out excited and breathless and filled with just pure joy of this thing they had seen. It was a feeling I had never had, and a collective feeling that I think we have all had in one way or another at some point. And that's an amazing thing. So thank you for expressing all this and playing with me in this space. And hopefully we can find something else that brings us joy in 2020.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thanks, you guys. Hey, here's something that would bring you joy. Get a monkey. Monkeys are awesome.
Why is this called Snark Monkey?
You know, we'll talk off mic, Jessica. It's a long story. Do you have an extra hour? Because it is.
Started in the galaxy.
Trey Calloway, thank you. Chris
thank
McGann,
you.
Thank you. Jason Kelly, Michael Ambers, Jessica Ambers, Alex Morgan, thank you so much. And now the majestic theme. Oh no, we all gone off the rails.